I would think that this agent would be likely to be approved. Is it before the FDA at this point?
Absolutely. It's gonna go for submission very soon for in front of the FDA. So obviously, everybody in the MDS field is excited about this because it's been more than 10 years that we did not have any drug approval for MDS patients. Obviously, the benefit we look at is transfusion independency. For an agent to be approved, there has to be a certain rate of transfusion independency. Most of the current agents that we use have somewhere around 20 to 30% response rate for an average duration of around a year, with certain exceptions like lenalidomide in deletion 5q MDS subset. So I think the FDA would be looking at the response rate and then the durability of the response rates. How long do those patients remain transfusion independent? And they obviously also value the quality of life for those patients during that. Whether this is a disease-modifying agent, we don't know yet.
That's interesting. So, of course, we'll have to see exactly whether it gets approved and what the approval is. But based on what we know about this agent, what clinical situation would you like to use this agent in?
Absolutely. So obviously, the study, the MEDALIST and the ORIGIN studies had shown that the patients with refractory anemia with ring sideroblast would be the candidates, and probably that will be the FDA approval for that subset of patients. As I mentioned, those are patients that have a lower risk MDS. Their median survival is typically estimated in average 8 to 10 years. They have less likelihood to develop leukemia, but they become transfusion dependent over a long time, and that would be the ideal subset. Now, when we look at the original studies, actually, like, there is obviously responses seen outside patients with ring sideroblasts. Any patient that had a splicing gene mutation seemed to have higher responses, but there were also responses in patients that were not in that subtype of ring sideroblast. So the next study moving on is called the COMMANDS study. That's going to be actually looking at patients receiving, randomizing patients upfront between an erythroid-stimulating agent versus luspatercept. So that probably would be the next step in using it outside the patients that have ring sideroblast or splicing mutation.
So in the patients with ring sideroblasts, then you would first use an ESA?
Typically, that's what's usually done, and the responses vary somewhere around 30 to 40%, with a transfusion independence duration of like 18 to 24 months. Now, what dictates the response to ESA sometimes is also the endogenous serum EPO level. So those patients, if they have an endogenous serum erythropoietin level of more than 500, their chances of response to erythroid-stimulating agent is less than 10%. And it didn't seem that there is that correlation with the endogenous serum EPO level and response to luspatercept. So in that subset of patients, one may move to use luspatercept earlier on. However, the approval, I think, would be after erythroid-stimulating agents failure.